There's a blog post that dropped yesterday that I want to give real attention to, because it's the kind of thing the HN community responds to when someone makes a genuinely non-obvious observation with rigor. The post is titled, "Your Executable is a SQLite Database," and the author is making a claim that's more literal than it sounds. The argument is that modern executables, particularly those embedding rich metadata, debug information, symbol tables, and configuration, are functionally structured databases, and that using SQLite explicitly as the format would unlock powerful introspection capabilities.
The HN thread on this is small, only 14 comments, but substantive. The idea builds on something that's been floating around systems programming circles for a while, that binary formats for executables like ELF have essentially evolved to contain relational information that you can't efficiently query without specialized tooling. If you replace that with SQLite, you could use standard SQL queries to ask things like which functions reference this symbol or what's the provenance of this compiled section.
The practical implications are interesting for debugging and security analysis. A lot of what tools like ObjDump and dwarf parsers do is essentially reconstruct relational structure from binary formats that weren't designed with queryability in mind. If your executable were literally a SQLite file, you could write a 5-line Python script to do what currently requires specialized tooling.
This connects to a broader philosophy in systems engineering right now, which is SQLite is so fast, so embedded, and so well understood that the cost of making it your storage layer is nearly zero, and the benefits in terms of introspection and tooling are significant. You're seeing SQLite show up in places nobody expected: browser internals, mobile apps, even some server-side applications that used to require PostgreSQL.
The fast Parquet dashboard story is in a similar vein. Hamilton Ulmer wrote about building customer-facing drill-down dashboards from a single Parquet file served from Cloudflare R2. The engineering insight is that if your data fits in a well-compressed Parquet file, you can push the query execution to the client using something like DuckDBWASM and avoid the whole back-end analytics stack. It's a specific solution to a specific problem, but the elegance of it is appealing.
The economics matter too. Not needing a dedicated analytics backend for read-heavy dashboard workloads can save significant infrastructure cost. If your data is megabytes rather than terabytes and your users are dozens rather than millions, this approach is genuinely competitive with running a dedicated ClickHouse instance.
The what is a harness? Piece from Irindil. Calm got nearly 500 points and over 150 comments, which is a significant signal for a piece that's essentially a definitional essay. The author is trying to give a precise definition of what a test harness is, and the difficulty of that exercise is the point. The HN community had a field day with this, because everyone uses the term, everyone has slightly different mental models of what it means, and it turns out the ambiguity has real consequences for how people design testing infrastructure.
The framing I found most useful in the discussion: a harness is any scaffolding that lets you run a component in isolation from the things it would normally depend on. The word comes from physical harnesses used to test engines outside of vehicles. But in software, the boundary between the thing being tested and the harness supporting the test is often blurry, and that blurriness leads to tests that are really testing the harness rather than the component.
The OCRIT tool is a more practical story. It's a GitHub project that extracts text from documents that prevent copying, specifically for feeding into LLMs. The technical approach uses computer vision to read rendered text from screenshots rather than extracting embedded text data. Simple idea, useful in practice, particularly for people dealing with scanned PDFs or DRM-protected documents. The HN thread is small but appreciative.
And the Google Workspace domain story, which got over 300 points, is a bureaucratic nightmare that many HN readers have encountered in some form. A developer's domain was flagged by Google Systems as an email provider, which triggered a set of restrictions that were nearly impossible to override through normal support channels. The technical root cause seems to be some heuristic in Google's systems that misclassified the domain based on MX record patterns.
What makes this worth discussing isn't just the specific bug, it's what it illustrates about the power asymmetry between developers and platform operators. When Google's automated systems make a wrong call, there's essentially no recourse through normal channels. The only path forward was public visibility, either through 8chan or social media, which is a genuinely fragile way to resolve technical support issues.